Welcome back to Season 2. We are so grateful for your continued support and for those new to the podcast. We look forward to sharing our Getting Dirty and Growing Strong stories with you. Where the Lotus Grows is an entirely listener-supported show. Supporting us is also designed to support you through keeping the growth flowing and also through rewards like guided meditations, personal affirmations, and extended behind-the-scenes content of our adventures in podcasting. Hop over and visit patreon.com/wherethelotusgrows and become a supporting member of the Courageitarian community.
Where the Lotus Grows, where the Lotus Grows.
Courageitarians, getting dirty and growing strong.
Welcome back, Courageitarians. Today, Kim has an update on things for us. How are we? How you doing, Kim?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm having some good days, and I'm having some still not so good days. But I'm in the physical therapy stage and the hormone therapy stage of everything. Okay. I do have some worries creeping in because at the end of the month, I will go through 3 days of intense scans and treatments that are uncomfortable, but also we're looking for additional cancer in my body. While the oncologists don't think that they're not anticipating finding anything, it still weighs on me, you know.
Sure.
So there's that going on, but you know, I'm starting to make my way through. I finally have a surgeon that I'll be meeting in May for my hysterectomy portion. So that's finally been figured out. I still am trying to figure out how to get a colonoscopy. That's not 3 years off my first date of when I should have it. Mm-hmm. But I think I have a different plan. This will be plan C that I'm going to try for myself to get there. You know, I, being the person who I am, right, being a mover and integrative sustainable educator, movement educator, for the last 14, 15 years, I was most excited about getting to the physical therapy stage because I thought, oh, these are people that'll speak my language and, you know, they're going to teach me about my body and things that I hadn't, you know, thought that I could do. And
well, and they're going to pat you on the back for all the things that you already know and do.
Yeah. You know, like couldn't be further from the truth. And I researched this person. I really like their reputation precedes them. Matter of fact, I'm in competition with another person who wants the 7 a.m. spot and they're driving all the way from Lansing. And
oh, wow.
The PT, when I first met them, said, don't you want to go someplace closer to home? And I said, here's the thing. Like, I've researched you, your reputation precedes you, you're exactly what I need. I don't mind getting out of bed at 4:45 to be here at 7 because I know that I'm getting the treatment and results that I need versus picking mm-hmm. someone perhaps closer to home where I'm getting average or below average treatment. Like, I didn't fight this hard to get to this point to now drop the ball. And they said, okay, you know, I just kind of had to ask and do my due diligence. And then when I just found out recently that, you know, a 7 a.m. spot that I wanted, the person's, you know, they said, oh, that person drives from Lansing. I thought, oh, see, you know, this is why I'm here. And I feel really lucky too, because when I walk into the PT session, it's just me and the PT. And a lot of PTs don't get that now. They've got to manage like eight people. They have an assistant. It's big open room. This is a beautiful setting, big windows. There's a river flowing, you know, but you see out the window. It's really quite a serene place to go. But the problem that I'm having is the shame and judgment and bias that is creeping into my healing session with them. There was a lot of, during the intake, a lot of bias about, you know, how'd you let yourself get here to this stage? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, first, parents passing away. Did I mention that there's a pandemic and things were closed? Did right. I mention that I was at another hospital for 5 months, not getting great treatment, kind of trapped in a silo of
Kim, did you mention that you're not in control of your genetic makeup that was handed down to you by your parents unasked by you?
And then I was going to be my next one, like gene mutation.
you just got a shit basket handed to you.
Right. But by all means, let's shame the patient. Right.
Right.
And yeah, you know, maybe this is being midlife, being in my 50s, maybe it's the cancer filter being off. But, you know, after that session, there's one more shaming thing that happened in that session. Let me just blurt out here. My girth size is significant, and that is creating some of my issues. And they've used that term several times, significant girth size.
In my head,
this is what's going on internally in me. I want to say, better pop your earbuds in if you're not in a good space. Fuck you. Right. I just went through the battle of my life, which was the hardest treatment that I've ever had. And you're right. My exercise intensity went down. Have I ever been this weight? No. Am I concerned about this weight? Yes. But you know what? It's not the top of my fucking priority right now. Mm-hmm. And I also, at this stage, don't want to be shamed for my story. And it just really pissed me off. So I call up my spouse and I cried in the parking lot and I chatted for 10 minutes because I also heard things about my body that I knew was probably going to be the case, but it's still hard to hear too, especially since I'm a mover and, you know, people look to our body for health as a mentor and, you know, that how I'm role modeling that's shifting. So I was quite upset. And then my second session, I'm, you know, being told things and they're on a discussion of how water is important. So I'm like, oh, you know, I got this. So at the end of, you know, my water lesson, I say, hey, I'm drinking like 3 liters a day. And I get told I don't care. And they go into another discussion about how I'm supposed to be oiling my body twice a day. And at this point, as a patient, I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't dare say that I'm already oiling twice a day and I've had that habit because I'm feeling like I can't co-create my session with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I had a vent text with you. And you helped me come up with a mantra or a phrase that I could start to say to healthcare workers. Because that day I also got a lecture about my blood pressure. They had looked back in my chart, and I'm grateful that they're going way back and looking in my chart at things. But when they don't take my blood pressure when I'm there, which is a red flag to me that blood pressure must not be in your scope of practice. And perhaps I'm going to listen to my MDs who I've had conversations about my blood pressure with before I listen to someone that it's not in their scope of practice. My MDs say, yeah, your blood pressure is raised at times, but with not even a recovery period of like 30 seconds or even a recovery period of 5 minutes, your numbers will drop 25 to 30 points on the top. And about 5 to 10 numbers on the bottom, which tells me you have a pretty good recovery rate. And we are purposely stressing your body, mind, and spirit to try to save your life. So until you're about a year out from cancer treatment, will we start to look at this? And this person is, my PT is suggesting that I'm not being a good advocate for myself because it's my responsibility to take my blood pressure morning and evening for 2 months and take that anecdotal information into my doctor. That seems really overwhelming considering the 6.5 hours of additional self-care I'm to do right now on top of an 8 to 10 hour workday. what is possible.
Right.
And you're at this point too, where, gosh, if I drop one of those balls, because let's face it, I'm a human being and you can only do so much. If is the one item that I drop going to cause a reoccurrence or another health, another comorbidity for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And right. So it's really hard. How do you, everyone says you got to go with your gut, but that's a really hard decision to go and make for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and then you have so many things on your plate.
One of the other things was they asked, what are you doing for movement? Well, at this point in time, I'm happy to say that most days of the week, I'm up to 90 minutes of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That feels really good to be there.
Because
as my husband said, there you spent a good many weeks where you were a puddle on the bed if you weren't at work. So it feels really good to be up and having that amount of energy to do that. And so I said, hey, we both have this same language of gravitational load and range of motion. Mm-hmm. I'm working through all ranges of motion and all gravitational load. Now, I have a 60-minute session. I've already sat through a 40-minute lecture.
Right.
And so I'm, in sake of time, because I'm a doer, and I'm like, let's get down to business here. Like, what am I supposed to be doing for homework? And they said, no, that wasn't acceptable. You have to show me. So now I start to show them, and they interrupted me with something. And at that point, I just said, hang on. You asked me a question. I even sought clarity. And now I'm trying to answer you. And, they just kind of looked at me. The next day, my 40-minute lecture was about connection, expectations, and mantra. Their mantra is to be kind and have peace in all areas of their life. And they're insinuating that because I have an expectation about my health, that I'm setting myself up for failure and I'm not seeking kindness and peace in all areas of my life. And so that was kind of difficult, especially since I'm a person who has childhood trauma. And this is one thing that I've been really pondering because, when you're, at least in my lived experience, and I tend to think others have a similar experience, when you have childhood trauma and you are taught to perhaps endure more suffering and not to have boundaries, sometimes you don't expect anything to a fault. And then that gets you into some pickles.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, not expecting certain outcomes. And there's, this yoga mantra of letting go of judgment, expectations, and competitions with ourselves and others. But you also have to expect a certain level from people.
Yes. And Kim, forgive me if I miss this part, but do they not know or did they not ask what you do for a living, or you do speak the same language, like how you know these things? Like obviously they know, they'd have some level of that, what you're talking about. So to say that you're not about peace and calm, and do you know what I mean, like that comes as part of the whole Kim package.
I did share that I was a yoga therapist because they asked for occupation.
Right.
I did say that I had a private practice in my own healing center. I feel like saying what my occupation was inserted a bunch of bias. Because even when I was getting my water lecture, I was told, and I mean water, not tea, yellow, green, white, black. And I'm like, interesting, because I drink 3 liters of water. That's when I said, well, I drink 3 liters of water, which I think is a reasonable amount. So I'm really having difficulty. And so in that second session, when they finally are touching me, because their job or my goal with them is my lymphatic system has been very disrupted in the chest between surgery, removal of lymph nodes, and radiation. Their job is to retrain my lymphatic system to drain a different way, to show me the ideal new way for it to drain, and to teach me tools that I can support myself, because I have every single risk factor to develop severe lymphedema. And in doing these things, I am hoping to prevent or slow down the progression of that disease. While they're touching me in this intimate setting, you know, I'm half of me is unclothed, right? They have their hands on me. They say to me, oh, you never cared about your health until you got cancer, and now you care about your health? And I took a deep breath, and I said,
good on
you. I couldn't be further from the truth, because I don't think you make it to 50 healthy on no medications by not caring about your health. Again, there was a pandemic. I was in cancer treatment. And so some things have been delayed because certain health things come before another. And this was cancer treatment before my colonoscopy and a vaccine that I'm due to have a booster of. And it's not the COVID one. It's, you know, one of the ones that we had to get when we were, when you work in a hospital or school, you, there's a series of vaccines that you need to be up on, and I need a booster for one of those. So I'm sitting there and I'm quite infuriated. And I'm like, I don't want to put myself through this. This is not going to happen. And I'm, you know, at home now, got myself calmed down. And I'm asking myself, what is my lesson in this? Because I did my due diligence. I know I want to be with this person. I know they've got skills. I read their soap notes. I agree with their soap notes. I agree with their treatment of plan that's happening once I read it. So I'm like, okay, you know, like, what is it? And I decided that perhaps it's for me to see how important language is. And so when I am stuck in these shaming, feeling shame and judgment moments, I make a mental note in my head of how would I ask that question differently as a clinician? And please God help me remember it so that I don't do this to one of my clients.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great reframing.
Yeah. I also, and this is my one friend that I was talking about, one of the Moon Lady girls I was talking to just before you and I got on to do the podcast. When I shared it with her, she goes, Kim, that's a bit passive aggressive. And I said, well, how am I supposed to get my anger out? And she started laughing. And she says, well, I would do it. But it's just interesting because I never hear or see you witness this type of behavior. And I said, they have this habit of going, and they, you know, they make this talking, and I'm a Star Wars person. Like, I'm the person that braids my hair in Princess Leia braids to go see the Star Wars movies in the theater the night that they're coming out at midnight. And it makes me think of Yoda. And she has nice, these beautiful brown eyes with dark eyes. And so I'm like, you know, and she's a little on the shorter side, and I'm like, okay, this is my Yoda. I affect the things I do, I know affect the lymphatic system, but I am not trained deeply in the lymphatic system in and of itself.
Right.
And I really want to learn about the lymphatic system from this individual and how I can better assist my lymphatic system. And so now when I'm feeling, I think of Yoda. I lay there on the table and I imagine nice. Yoda.
That's another good reframing.
I want to make the little ears, but I don't.
Well, and you know, and I don't necessarily think that it's passive aggressive to look at a situation that is unpleasant and say, what can I learn from this? And how can I reframe it for myself to obtain the most from this? Like, how do I, and I get the idea as well, so that I don't talk to somebody else that way. But I mean, that is how we learn in a lot of ways is, you know, this is, even if what I take away from this situation is what not to do, right? That's a piece of it. Additionally, we've had conversations recently about our triggers and what triggers us and what that means. And the fact that that requires more self-exploration. And so the fact that you did go home with these things, and you did sit with them and you have talked to other people about them and you've let them explore, you've given the person grace in maybe there's a cultural barrier, maybe there's other things that, you know, that might be between communication wise between the two of you. And how can you let go of the pieces or not hold on to or store the things that were said that were offensive or triggering, and then keep the pieces that you need to know? Like you said, you've gone through the soap notes. You really appreciate the way that this person is, their approach. And then the fact that they do take good notes, the fact that they do have a good plan of care for you. I think that it's a struggle that on one hand you want to be like, do I really need this right now? Aren't I getting enough life lessons just having cancer? Right. And on the other side of that, like, pieces to fuel you.
Yeah. And I think the reason that the shame and judgment bothers me so much is because, you know, I'm already shaming and judging myself. And I'm trying to overcome those aspects. And then to hear the bias on top of it just sends me into an extra thing. The other thing that my caregiver pointed out is that perhaps a lot of people don't listen to what their homework is. And therefore, they've developed a tendency to be extra stern and demanding. And that might be because after 10 days from the first day I met this person, they redid their measurements and they were so excited that I had already moved 5 centimeters of lymph on my own and doing my homework.
That's awesome.
And I had already lost 2 pounds. So far this month, I've lost 5 pounds. But congrats. Again, you know, I've been on a 12-week trend to get to this time. It's taken me 12 weeks to get there. And I really want to point that out because for other women that are going through it, or if you're caregiving for someone, it's a long, laborious process to get there. And I am, let's see, if I had surgery on November 30th, so we'll just say December, January, February, March. So that is 16, 17. I'm about 18 weeks out from a double mastectomy with lymph node dissection. And I want to let people know, I still can't raise my arms toward the ceiling fully. I can touch my hands on top of my head. I can touch my left hand behind my neck, but I can't get my elbow back. My elbow points forward. I can touch my arms behind my waist. I can abduct my right arm to 90 degrees and my left arm to about 80 degrees. I cannot move my left arm above 90 degrees in abduction to above my head without compressing compensation and limitation, like so moving my ribs or my spine to get there. I can fully extend my elbows. I can shrug my shoulders. I can move independently, but getting my shirts on and off over my head are still an issue. So I'm modifying my self-care. I'm modifying my clothing because of all of this. And so my scars are healed. I have adhesions. My skin is normal. I do have fibrosis of the left wall where I am have been radiated. And that is affecting things like lifting my leg up in flexion to go up a stair, to twist, to look over my shoulder. Besides just my arm movement, my sternum is tight and my anterior rib cage is tight. So sometimes when I'm doing stuff, I can feel my rib being pulled out of alignment, which then creates a big muscle spasm and I have to back off on it. To my QL is tight. My quadrum lumborum is really tight as well, which is limiting. And as my PT has pointed out, my significant gain in my girth size is also reducing my range of motion in my shoulders. So, you know, it's still a lot. She describes for people who aren't sure, and I don't really like this analogy, but I don't have a better one. So I'm open if a Courageitarian has a better image, please let us know. No way to describe it. She described where I had been radiated as when you put meat on a pan to be seared, right? You see how it changes color and the flesh kind of that piece of meat kind of adheres together. And if you take it off, you can't unsear it. It's just seared.
Right.
It's not going to change and go back. That's what radiation is like. Now, she did say that that sear is attached to a moving, living, vibrant being that still has circulation going through it. And in time, that will, hopefully, the idea is that it will change somewhat. And that was really a difficult analogy to sit through and hear. The first time that she touched her hands onto my chest, tears just came. It's very sensitive. I have tried touching it now with my hands. The skin doesn't even really feel like my skin. It kind of creeped me out. So right now I am, you know, I still use a sponge to bathe. When I have to put lotion in that area, I'm using like something the thickness of a paper towel to put it on because the texture has kind of grossed me out. I'm learning to touch myself through my clothes now on my chest, but I haven't made skin to skin contact. I'll also say that even though that was a traumatizing, or I shouldn't say traumatizing, it was a very emotional thing to go through, some of the pointedness and dips and valleys when she was done massaging it and training the lymph, it looks 50% better.
Yeah.
So it is changing the contouring.
It's changing,
of
it's
my
working.
Chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just taking time. Now, how much PT do you have? How many weeks did they give you?
So I'm going 2 times a week and she's recommending 3 months total. She did say that she thinks mid-May I could start coming 1 day a week rather than 2 because I'm doing my homework. So that made me helpful. She is recommending for the future that I have continued therapeutic exercise, therapeutic activity, neuromuscular re-education, manual therapy for joint soft tissue mobilization, edema scar management, complete decongestive therapy, including manual lymph drainage, skin care, and low stretch compression bandaging, garments, a low level laser therapy, so physio touch, skilled therapist to indicate to meet the following goals. And then my discharge goals are going to be the patient will demonstrate independence with risk reduction principles to prevent further aggravation of symptoms. The patient will be independent with scar management and skincare techniques to improve tissue flexibility and health. The patient will be independent with all components of complete decongestive therapy, including skin care, self-manual lymph drainage, garment use, exercises, and goals met. The patient will demonstrate independence with home exercise program and appropriate progression, including self-monitoring techniques. The patient will demonstrate an increase in upper extremity range of motion, functional use, goal, and partial met. So there's a lot going on.
Nice.
I think it'll
be... It sounds like she's meeting you with all the things that you want. Do you know what I mean? Like your goals and her goals are the same. So that's wonderful.
Yes. Yep. So I think we're getting there. It's just been a process to get there. I think I already shared that we've made 5 centimeters of lymph, which to me is really good.
That's amazing. And as you were listing the different recommendations that she had to continue with your treatment, I'm like, well, you may be able to undo a lot of that yet. You know what I mean? Like to me, it sounds very possible if you're already having success with what you've been doing. And I think that that's probably encouraging her to promote and fight for you to get the other therapies that she thinks that you need.
And I also think, you know, I've talked to women who had their doctor never recommended this step. And I will say I had to advocate to get this step for myself. I wasn't handed the recommendation. I had to verbalize, I think, more than 5 times that I wanted this step. And so when I see women struggling 2, 3, 4, 5 years from their treatment, and they weren't given this opportunity, I ask them, do you think that that could have changed your outcome? She has said that the first 12 months are the most important and need to be the most disciplined for me to prevent, you know, something like pitting lymphedema. She also said, she goes, I know this isn't going to be you, but if you give up your exercise, let's say 5 or 6 years down the road, most likely lymphedema will happen and I'll retreat back to this beginning stage of this theory. She's like, with the radiation, she's like, the tissues will just contract immediately. So it's, you know, something to think about. You know, and especially on those days when you're like, I just don't have the energy. Right now, I'm happy that I'm getting about 90 minutes of exercise most days of the week. There's one day a week that I crash for at least 12 hours and another day of the week that I need like a 90 minute nap. And I mean, it's just like you hit a wall, like there's nothing, I can't move forward. I've got to rest. And I don't beat myself up for it, because if I'm listening to my body, that's what my body said that I needed in the moment.
Yeah, I think that's the mantra among all the others that you have is to have that. You know, it does bring up an interesting piece. You stating how many times you had to advocate for the PT and the different treatments that are available. And on the other side, you also mentioned that you wondered if your PT was as strict as they were because patients are not often compliant. And that is a really tricky chicken egg thing when it comes to, you know, you want the best possible therapy and treatment, but also if you provide that to the patient and the patient doesn't adhere to the practices, then I can see where, you know, it is a challenge. So I can see why it's not widely available on one hand, maybe. I don't know. It should still be available, but
you know,
I get why they're like, we're not going to waste our time with non-compliant patients.
I think this is important because my oncologist was extremely interested in some of my side effects that I was preventing. And one of them, very simply, was the mouth sores. Mm-hmm. I had to do those washes all the time in my mouth. Right. And she had another client that was having really bad sores in their mouth. And I said, listen, if I think I can even skip one of the five washes in a day, while you're eating food, you feel the sore being created. And by the time mm-hmm. I'm done with the meal, it'll be an open sore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like right away, you know, I was like, note to self, this isn't something I can skip on, or my mouth right. and my esophagus. And I got sores, some sores as it was, but nowhere near like the amount. I mean, sometimes when you're in cancer treatment, the sore can get so bad, then the food gets stuck in there. And then you go, you're in a big infection thing. So lucky for me, again, not only did my oncologist and pharmacist try to set me up for success, but my dentist also reiterated the same sorts of things. And she's the one that they give you a mouthwash when you start to get those sores so that you don't get an infection and to numb it so that you can still eat. And my dentist gave me the tip, like, it was okay if I swallowed a little bit of that mouthwash to help with the sores in my esophagus. And that was life changing to know that that was there. Cause I still have some sensitivity in my esophagus and belly, kind of like you would feel like an ulcer. And I wouldn't be surprised if I ended up with some ulcers technically in there, although we've never looked for any of it. But so I think you have a point. If clients are not going to be coherent or consistent and comply with the PT request, perhaps then they stop recommending it.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough call as far as that goes. And I think from your standpoint, and we've had this, I've used this analogy with you before, but you know, you're the Searle case. And so someday somebody's going to be up there presenting the Searle case. And so you've had your, as much as I don't want to feed into your perfectionism monster, because that's not what this is about, you are a model patient as far as you're going to take the information that you're given. And you're beyond that, because you're also going to do your own research, and you're going to, you know, find alternative, you know, you're doing things that the hospital's not, you're finding complementary things to go along with it. You're a problem solver, and you're going to get to the bottom of this. I do think, though, that it has a lot to do with your success. You know, it still blows my mind when you think about that little 11% that I know is not lost on you, that you think about all the time. Like the fact that you practice what you preach and have that integrity with your health, I think has carried you this far and will carry you much further.
I have a client who works in the medical field, and she said to me, when I was, you know, struggling with my PT, she said, listen, she's like, have you ever seen this bracelet that's written in Morse code and it says fuck cancer on it? I said, no. I started laughing. And she goes, I kind of want to get you that. She goes, because when people ask me how you're doing, and how, she's like, she goes, I tell them, she's amazing. She just looked cancer in the face and she said, fuck cancer. She goes, it's the same thing. Yeah. She goes, you're going to do that. PT doesn't know you, and you know you. The people that support you know you. And she's like, you're going to give it your best effort. She goes, it may work, it may not. But you know that you've given it the best effort that you could under the circumstances that you have in front of you. And it just, I really, and we, I know I keep bringing this up, but I really think I could be complying so much more with doctors' requests. But given the environment to which I'm in to continue my treatment has not given me the optimal environment to heal in.
Yeah.
And I keep wondering, when you're faced with a chronic illness, why can't you have the optimal healing environment? Why can't there be a little pause and you're supported in the way that you need. And I have had, I'm sure that I have above average support based on what I've heard other people's support levels being. I know that that's played a big part. It's playing a big part in me recovering right now. If I didn't have my friends, that living healthy energy of my friends next to me, whether that's virtually or physically, to keep moving. Because I got to tell you, movement is harder than it was when I had my back accident. I don't remember it. And maybe I've lost the memory or sensation, but I currently don't feel like it was this hard. And with my AI drug, if we recall when I was talking about it, one of the number one side effects was stiffness and pain in joints.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know if I move, that'll go away. That's 100% true. But like we've been talking on the podcast, right? So I've been, you know, somewhat sedentary for an hour or more. When I go to stand up, I will stand up as if I was a 90-year-old. It'll take me a minute to be alert and vertical and to be able moving. But once I get going, I'll be fine. If I didn't have the support of healthy friends around me in body, mind, and spirit, it would be extremely hard for me to make the choice to go do that 90 minutes of exercise every single day. I bet my consistency would be lower. And my friends heard a lot of self-deprecation coming out of my mouth when I can't even do, for example, a beginner routine on my reformer. And they luckily, you know, and I apologized. Thank you for being there for me. And I apologize for the emotional abuse because I was spewing the itty bitty shitty committee out of my mouth. It's getting better, but it's still.
I think we all know you're entitled to that.
It's a hard thing of my ego to. I know I've declined physically. But it's hard for my ego to now quantify it in that movement. And I've been 4 weeks, there'll be 4 weeks at the 90 minutes. And I still have this impatience that I should be further than where I'm at. And I have to continually pull myself back from it and slow myself down. I was going to add a new thing in every week. And my caregiver said, would you just please for me consider 2 weeks? And right up to the end of that first week, I was like, nope, nope, nope. And then I crashed in bed for a whole day. And then I was like, shit, I gotta do it. And now I'm thinking I have one more component to add in. And I don't think I'm going to start it till May. I've decided to stay here for a good 3 weeks before I add in another component.
I think that's a good choice. I think you're making good decisions for yourself. Listening, being present.
I love that you mirror that stuff back, but you know, but it's a good choice, but it doesn't feel like that inside.
Well, so here's the other perspective. You compare that to your back injury. And you have to think that your body has had almost 30 years of life since then. So of recovery, but also your body was 30 years younger when that happened. So your cell's ability to do all the things that the amazing things that it did, like you were still in a stage where, you know, everything was still moving in an upward trend. And it's just biology. Things are moving in a different trend when you're 50. And so listening to that too, like on one hand, you are also so much wiser and have so much more ability to sit with yourself and to be with yourself and to listen and all of those things that you probably didn't have in your 20s. But also you have to, you know, give yourself more grace that your body has had an additional 30 years of recovery time since then. And this, it's going to take something different this time around.
It is. And I would venture to say, not only is it an older body that's drying up more and so on and so forth, just the natural biology, but cancer treatment, I think, is way
completely different than
my broken bone too, that
yeah,
even though it had some, left me with some mobility issues, it's nowhere near like what I'm experiencing now. So what I have left is to continue on the hormone therapy. I'm still getting the capsules injected into my belly. The more I learn about that, the more I'm like, oh. So, I mean, it's
crazy.
Like I said, it's a large gauge blunt needle, and it's because it's kind of like a capsule that goes in that's time released over 28 days. So it's a rather large object. You don't get numbed like up for any of it. It's just like a jab that goes in. And I noticed that it even makes a little bit of scar tissue. So I'm like, interesting. I wonder how that's going to be affected with everything. So I still have, I think either one or two, I think I have two more AI drugs to add on top of what I'm already taking. I have to have a hysterectomy and then the recovery time from that, which will probably also be some additional PT. I have to figure out the financial component of what's happening. I have to make those phone calls. I'm still struggling on getting myself back on an overall wellness routine because your oncologist won't check things like high cholesterol, sugar, and I'm sure the metabolic state of my body has been disrupted. So I need to work on that piece. So there's still time, and I'm going for a dermatology visit because I'm still having some skin issues from chemo. And I haven't had a yearly like mold check done since 2019, I think was the last time I had that done too. So it's been a couple of years between the pandemic and being through cancer treatment. So I'm going to have that stuff checked. And my dad did have melanoma, so it's something that I'm concerned about. So there's, in some aspects, like you think your head's above water, but when you really look at the big picture, you know, you're nowhere near out of this to a maintenance level, and that's what I'm looking for. It's just like things could slow down a bit to a maintenance level. And speaking about prosthetics, you know, I have one bra. Four bras were ordered, two that insurance would pay for, two that I'd pay for. And I only have one. I guess they're back ordered with the pandemic, but I'm living off one bra or no
all
bra.
The things, the supply chain on bras. Who knew?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So this is my update. These are my current woes that I'm managing. And you just take it one day at a time.
Absolutely, Kim. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We're so happy that that you're able to be so vulnerable and open and honest and sharing every step of this journey. It certainly has been eye-opening. So thank you so much.
Keep me in your prayers. In your prayers for all good scans with no additional cancer for the end of the month.
That's right. Hopefully that'll be the next update that we do. So we'll be looking forward to that. Thank you, Kim.
Hey, if we get that, we're going out for a champagne toast.
Absolutely. I'm ready. I'm ready. Stay up. I'll drive down. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Show notes and resources grow on our website, wherethelotusgrows.com. If you're wanting to engage with the topics we present in a deeper way, it's a great place to go for a more immersive experience and links to pertinent show information. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or subscribe on our website to get our weekly blog, personalized weekly mantra, and links to listen to the show. We're so grateful for all the reviews, recommendations, membership support, and suggestions that you provide us. As always, our member platform is at patreon.com /Where the Lotus Grows. This is where you can go to donate to the show to help keep us going and get a few rewards for your support. Thank you, Courageitarians. We love having you as our Sangha. Until next week. Remember, though we are professionals in our field, the topics discussed and or advice given is general information and not intended as treatment or diagnosis. Please seek the guidance of a medical, integrative health, bodywork, or yoga therapy professional for full evaluation.